Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
On Monday, the Labor Party announced their first major policy ahead of next year's general election, which is titled the Future Fund. Although Labor didn't include many specifications about the policy, the aim is to invest in New Zealand businesses that are inventive and resourceful. They also announced the fund would begin with a $200 million investment. We also discussed the government's decision to move ahead with its roads of national significance, as they've allocated $1.2 billion worth of funding to the program, of which $550 million is being used to buy properties for the project to move forward. But first, we discuss the upcoming mega strike from the unions, which is happening tomorrow. It was announced yesterday that ACC workers had voted to join the mega strike tomorrow, where tens of thousands of teachers, doctors, and nurses will walk off the job, as part of a demand for better pay and working conditions. Along with this, Public Service Minister Judith Collins wrote an open letter where she expressed regret on behalf of the government for what she described as a coordinated attack and politically motivated. To begin, how does the Green Party respond to Judith Collins' claim that these strikes are a coordinated attack against the current government?
It is the current government that is refusing to provide safe working conditions for healthcare workers, decent pay for teachers, and it should come as no surprise that workers have had enough and are choosing to strike. What is really concerning as well is to see the minister straight up lie about the fact that PPTA wasn't keen to discuss pay and working conditions, and twisting the words of the union to make political attacks on workers just reeks of a government that is ruling for the wealthy few as opposed to everyday people.
Would you say that the demands that the unions are asking for are a fair request?
Absolutely. Workers across the board are struggling with the cost of living crisis, and for example, healthcare workers are facing unsafe staffing levels that is putting patients at risk in our hospitals. At the same time, the government needs to recognize if they want a world-class education system, we need to value our teachers, pay them well, and actually have enough staff so that they can adequately do their job. And so I think to me the issue that the government is facing is that they're simply not valuing workers. They're expecting workers to be paid less than what they are worth. And so this is why we're standing in solidarity with countless of workers that are taking action to fight for better pay and conditions. And this is the economy that we're fighting for in the Greens, one that actually values our healthcare and education workers and everyday people so that they get what they deserve.
What do you make of the government's defensive stance in these strikes and negotiations that have gone on for a long time now?
It's indicative of a government that simply does not value workers. I mean, at the same time that they've given billions of dollars to landlords on military equipment, hundreds of millions of dollars in subsidies to fossil fuel companies, they're telling everyday nurses, allied health workers, care and support workers, teachers, firefighters, that they're not worth of safe working conditions and decent pay. This is a government that has taken political choices to hand out billions of dollars to the wealthy mates while leaving everyday workers struggling with the cost of living.
Many ministers in the government have questioned the union's priorities, specifically when it comes to Palestine. How do you respond to this?
Once again, we saw a minister straight up lying and claiming that one of the union's top priorities on discussions was Palestine, when they have already clearly debunked the fact that they did want to engage in pay and working conditions. And also, at the same time, unions are able to raise issues that are of national and international significance. We have seen how unions across the world have stood in solidarity against the genocide, which I think is a pretty low bar that we should be expecting most organizations and politicians to be against the genocide. But I think what is most concerning is having a minister that has chosen to run a smear campaign full of misinformation over the reality that PPTA, as well as other unions, have consistently been trying to raise pay and working conditions. And instead, the minister, rather than acknowledging that, has instead chosen to use public funding to run ads against the workers that the unions represent.
Prime Minister Christopher Luxon suggested the government would be more willing to accept the union's demands if the economy were in a better position. Do you think that this is a fair stance?
Absolutely not, because they have chosen to hand out billions of dollars to landlords. They have chosen to hand out hundreds of millions of dollars to fossil fuel companies. They have made political decisions to increase the wealth of the wealthy few as opposed to everyday workers that actually sustain our economy. This is just cover that the Prime Minister is giving himself to basically mask the fact that he does not value workers and everyday people, and politicians are always able to make decisions on what the economy looks like, and the Greens are fighting for an economy that works for all workers, not just the wealthy few.
All right, moving on to the next topic. On Tuesday, the Labour Party announced their first policy ahead of next year's general election. A future fund would be set up alongside the existing super fund with the idea to invest in New Zealand businesses that are inventive and resourceful. The fund would begin with a $200 million investment with aims to help New Zealanders into work. My next question is, what was the Green Party's reaction to this announcement by Labour, and is this a policy that the Green Party would support?
We still need to tax wealth, and the Greens have a plan to create tens of thousands of jobs, and we've demonstrated we want to prioritise those jobs and the kind of strategies we want to put in place, particularly in the manufacturing and construction sector. I think we welcome Labour to the party when it comes to the notion of the government taking an active role of creating jobs, but there are not enough details yet for us to make a judgment as to whether we'll be in support of that policy. I think some of the most important things that the government could be doing to raise the revenue to invest in New Zealand assets in our economy would be to tax wealth and put that money to create local jobs and to, for example, create a manufacturing sector so that we're not exporting raw materials to be processed overseas and then having to import those more expensive materials back into the country.
Can you understand why critics are sceptical about the lack of detail in the plan released by Labour?
I can see why people would want to know the details. And what we are very, very clear is that what we are fighting for is to tax wealth and to not, most political parties have done, avoid the question of what is our tax reform plan. And this is why we are fighting again to create tens of thousands of jobs in the manufacturing construction sector, as well as in the area of jobs for nature, which has been really important in Auckland to restore our streams, to protect our cities against floods. And that is what we are fighting for. Labour will, of course, have to explain further detail of their policies that they're trying to sell. But we're very clear that when we sit down at the negotiating table, we'll be fighting hard to get our policies across.
Can you see the potential of this plan by Labour as an adequate step forward to rebuilding the economy?
I think what we need to not avoid is having the conversation on tax. And for us, we're really clear that we have a plan to create jobs. And we've put quite a bit of work into substantiating the details of that policy. And when we sit down with Labour, we know that the greater our party vote is, the more chances we'll have at getting our policies across once we change this government.
Labour seem to be specifically interested in investing in companies involved in renewable energy. What do you think of that?
Well, we've long supported greater investment in renewable energy. I think one of the key things, though, that we could be doing is making sure that we tackle the conversation around the behaviour of gen tailers, which ultimately are leading some of the issues when it comes to high electricity prices. And that is why, for us, our priority is for publicly owned programs that are not creating more corporates that end up taking their profits to just wealthy shareholders to, for example, solarize our schools, our marae, our hospitals, and to provide solar energy for communities across the board. And so that is a way of creating jobs, but also lowering electricity bills as well.
And Labour leader Chris Hipkins believes that the benefits of this policy will help young New Zealanders into work and slow down current youth migration. Do you agree with him on that?
Well, we'll need to see the details of what that policy looks like and how many jobs will be created. Once again, what I am really clear is that what we are fighting for is having a green jobs guarantee to create 40,000 jobs. And we hope that Labour can support that policy. As we know, particularly in the manufacturing industry, it's really important that we stop exporting raw materials only to import products that have been processed overseas. We used to make things in this country. And so what we are fighting for is our own policy once we sit at the negotiating table.
Moving on to the last topic, the government announced that they will spend more than $500 million buying up property so that it can push ahead with its roads of national significance. Transport Minister Chris Bishop also announced an allocation of $1.2 billion worth of funding had been allocated to get the projects to the next stage of development. What is the Green Party's response to this?
The government is not adequately erasing issues of congestion by putting a lot of money into roads and not investing a proportionate amount on issues like public transport, which we know will lead to lower congestion and lower transport costs for people across the country. And that includes investment into issues like interregional rail. The key thing as well is that it's quite rich for the government to be really okay with buying private property for public projects when they were so critical of the past government buying private housing for public housing projects. And so I think the government needs to confront their hypocrisy when it comes to the acquisition of private land for public works. And we call on the government to put greater investment into public transport, which is what we know and the evidence shows will actually reduce congestion and transport costs for people, including people who still need to use cars.
Just going back to the strikes quickly, how can the Prime Minister use a weak economy as the reason for not accepting the union's demands and then simultaneously pass a plan such as this, which allocates more than $1 billion?
Once again, this all shows that there are political decisions and the Prime Minister is choosing to make decisions to invest in infrastructure projects that, for example, will lower congestion at a much smaller rate than public transport projects would. They're quite happy to give billions of dollars to landlords while telling healthcare workers that they do not deserve safe working conditions or better pay. And again, this is just such a prime example of why we have a government that is ruling for the wealthy and not everyday people.
Transport Minister Chris Bishop says the Roads of National Significance program will redress New Zealand's infrastructure deficit and build jobs and growth for Kiwis. Do you agree with him?
Well, the key thing is that our infrastructure deficit is largely, and when it comes to transport, isn't the public transport space. I think any New Zealander who will be looking at images or has travelled, you know, to overseas cities will know that our major cities and towns are lagging behind having adequate interregional rail, adequate city rail networks, and this is where the investment should lie in, because this is what has been shown to reduce congestion, transport prices for workers, which make up a huge proportion of the everyday cost that people face. And so I think the government has its priorities upside down by prioritizing expensive roads over actually more affordable, more efficient, and more climate-friendly projects like rail, which would actually deliver greater benefits to reducing congestion in our cities.
And lastly, do you think the majority of the New Zealand public are happy that this program is moving forward?
I think what most people want to see is just less congestion on the roads and a lower cost of transport. And I think most people will not be supportive of the fact that the government has chosen to go ahead with extremely expensive projects over, for example, an greater investment into public transport and the things that actually help people do well, like paying our teachers, our nurses, and our allied health workers and care and support workers what they deserve.
And that was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March on the upcoming mega strike, the Labour Party's first policy announcement for next year's general election, and the government moving forward with the Roads of National Significance program.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.